Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, a pleasure to have the Major Billy Downer from South Carolina, DNR. Back in the saddle. What a big week it is for the Department of Natural Resources, because the Sportsman's Classic begins on Friday, and of course we're in the middle of some great hunting around the state of South Carolina. The weather is getting terrific to go out and drop a line and do some fishing in the lakes, the rivers, and the oceans. So we got a lot going on outside, Major, but you're going to have a lot of great stuff going on inside, indoors, at the Classic at the State Fairgrounds beginning on Friday.
Absolutely. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be at the State Fairgrounds. It is the second largest event at the State Fairgrounds besides the State Fair. So pretty big deal. Lots of people, lots of vendors. There'll be turkey calls and turkey calls and turkey calls. And lots of fishing gear. Lots of items there, a lot of folks. You know, even last year, just one of those odd things, that was there was Tupperware. I hadn't seen Tupperware in forever. And there was a Tupperware salesman there. So there's a little bit for everybody there at the Classic. There'll be the fishing pond again for the kids, you know. So bring a youngster out, let him fish in the pond there. Pretty neat little event. Of course, all the DNR displays. But today is a big day in the state of South Carolina. It is the start of turkey season for game zones 3 and 4. A long-awaited day for many turkey hunters. Today is that day. This weekend coming up, Saturday, will be the second youth day. That's for game zones 1 and 2. Those counties in game zones 1 and 2 will have their youth day on the 25th, and then they will open for turkey season on April the 1st. Tonight we are joined once again by, I always call him Dr. Deer, Dr. Turkey. He's all those things, but It's Jay Cantrell. He is our turkey project leader. I want to welcome Jay to the show tonight. Thanks for coming on tonight, Jay.
Yeah, it's great to be here with y'all.
Yep. So, Jay, just start off a minute. Let's talk turkey for a minute. We talk about it every year. You come on here, we talk about our population a little bit. You know, everybody always wants to know the question. How is our turkey population at this point today, 2023?
Well, you know, we're still, like much of the Southeast and a lot of the country, kind of in a long-term slow decline with our population. That doesn't mean that we're running out of turkeys. We've still got plenty of birds out there, just not what we had, you know, 15, 20 years ago at their peak in the prime. But yeah, we're, you know, down a little bit, and that's kind of shown up in harvest. But anticipating this year might be a pretty decent season based on the fact that 2 years ago, the summer of 21, we actually had a pretty good hatch in the state with turkeys. So there should be, and the turkey hunters will know what we're talking about here, a lot of two-year-old birds out there this year.
Right.
So, you know, we're optimistic for a good season this year, and maybe hope to see a little bit of an uptick in the harvest from last year. You know, last year, our estimates based on reporting and surveys, we harvested about 13,500-ish birds in the state. And that's down a tick from where we'd been kind of around 14, 15,000 the last few years. But, you know, we're hoping this year might jump back up to 14 or 15 based on, you know, a lot of two-year-old birds out there. And I think a lot of hunters saw a lot of jakes last year, which would kind of indicate that as well. So we're optimistic. We're hoping for a good season. You know, if we get good weather, things should be well. And right now, the early indications are we're kind of on track. You know, it's obviously very early. Today was opening day, and we had youth day this past weekend, and we had just over 100 turkeys reported through our harvest reporting system over the weekend with youth, and that's right in line with what they reported that first weekend of youth last year. And then before we got on here, I just checked the stats from today. As you mentioned in the lead-in there, our opening day for game zones 3 and 4, the lower half of the state, And as of right now, about 340 birds have been reported today. And, of course, folks have till midnight to report their harvest. And last year, opening day was about 475 birds. So, we'll probably be close to that again. So, we're hopeful that it'll be a pretty good year like we've had in the last few years.
So, Jay, two quick questions. Number one, what is our population statewide? What's our estimate? I'm sure we got a number for statewide birds. What is it?
Yeah, I mean it's hard to get a good estimate on that, but it's about 100,000 birds that we estimate in the state. It's really hard to count turkeys, but the best indications we have with all of our methods, we say we got about 100,000 birds, and we've got about 50,000 turkey hunters. So it's not where it was, like, as I said, at the peak, but there's still plenty of birds out there where folks should have them. Good
so thing. 1 in 4 successful based on those numbers. If only 14,000 birds are killed, 1 in 4 hunters are successful. So
turkey hunting's a low success sport, compared to deer hunting or some other things. There's a lot of folks that don't harvest any birds, and then there's most of the hunters, probably kill one, and then a few more get two, and then there's a small percentage that tag out and get three here. But it's not always high success for folks, but most turkey hunters, when you talk to them or survey them, their idea of success is to hear birds gobble and just to kind of be in the game, as we say. So it's with turkey hunting, there's so much with the interaction with the bird and the calling, and you can have a very successful and enjoyable hunt without pulling the trigger.
Absolutely. So you mentioned we're down a little bit. At our height, what do we think our population was? For those that may be wondering.
I think we're probably down about 40%. So, we were probably maybe 140,000 birds at our peak.
Okay, 150. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So
yep.
The questions that come up a lot every year, it seems like, to the officers, to you for me, I'm just going to throw a couple out there that, we all always talk about. A lot of folks in the last few years feel like that birds are quieter now. Now, I'm going to explain that for the person that's listening and have no idea what we're talking about. Gobblers, and Jay can explain this in detail, but gobblers in the natural environment, they gobble so the hen hears them. And, she's going to call, he's going to gobble, so she comes to him. What we do when we're turkey hunting is directly the opposite. We're calling, he's gobbling. We're calling, he's gobbling. The hen doesn't come, so he gets impatient and comes to you, to his demise. But we're reversing the process of nature. A lot of people don't understand that. But birds on the tree gobble, and then they hit the ground, a lot of people think now, and are very quiet. Is there any information studies to show that indeed has to do with coyotes at all?
No, that's probably what gets blamed the most, and there hadn't been anything that indicates that it's coyotes. Obviously coyotes will harass some birds, and I think hunters think that they're probably a big predator on turkeys because it's not uncommon, if you're sitting out there in the spring with a decoy out and making calls, to have a coyote come in and check you out. But all the research that we have done and seen shows that coyotes actually kill very few turkeys. Now, killing them and harassing them may be two different things, but, there's some theories on the quiet bird thing, and that it's probably a combination of things. One, there's just less birds on the landscape, so you're naturally going to hear a few less. And at lower densities, they're probably not going to gobble as much, because a lot of their gobbling is actually, it's to attract hens, but it's also to keep up where other gobblers are at. There has been a lot of studies that have shown actually hunting pressure definitely has an impact on gobbling activity. And so that could be some of the, people are just hunting in areas with heavy hunting pressure, and that quiets birds down. And then there's another theory out there that's kind of interesting, that maybe over time we've kind of genetically selected for the quieter birds, the birds that gobbled and were very responsive.
The ones that gobbled got killed.
That gobbled got killed, and the quiet ones survived. And so over time we've kind of, bred for quieter birds. And that, there might be something to that. That's one of the more interesting theories that I've come across on it. But yeah, definitely we hear that a lot, that birds aren't as vocal as they were, and there's probably, like I said, a lot of factors that lead to that. And some of it's probably just the way people remember things, you know. You kind of remember the mornings when the birds are gobbling their heads off, and you can hear birds all over the place, and you kind of forget the quiet mornings. And then, you know, so over time, maybe some of that's just bias with people's memories.
Right. So you did mention this, too. I want to mention this. You were saying that as of the moment before you called in, it was like 3:44. Talk to us a little bit about that, because that will help folks understand the new tagging procedure. Let's talk about that for a minute, Jay, just explain how that helps
the harvest
us,
because reporting
you got that information
system.
From that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So we're in year three of harvest reporting for turkeys, and folks have several different methods they can use to report their harvest. It is required by law to report your harvest by midnight the day of harvest, but the best option folks have is we have a mobile app, Go Outdoors SC, that has a lot of functions on it where you can buy your license or look at, you know, sunrise, sunset, or a whole host of things. But Game Check is a function on there where people can report their harvest, and it's real quick and efficient and doesn't take but a second. And most of the folks are using that. Last year, about 70% of our harvest came in through the app. But there's also you can go onto the website, Go Outdoors South Carolina, and report there, which is another easy method. And then we're cognizant that people don't all have smartphones or computers, and there's a text
Who's
method
that?
Or a not
what world
many
do they live on?
Yeah,
what
there's,
world
there's
do they live on? Because I want to visit that world.
Yeah, I know. But there's a small percentage of our hunters that use either a text to report or a call in and use an automated phone system. So we still
Phil,
keep
that's
some
your,
options.
That's your age bracket, Phil.
I hear
that'll
you. I'm right there with you.
But regardless, it's a great system, and we're excited about it. And yes, as you mentioned, it gives us some really good data. You know, detailed information on harvest by day, by county, if you're hunting on public land, by wildlife management area. And so it's very good information for us to be able to map out that harvest day by day and see what those daily totals are. And that's important for us, you know, long-term looking at season structures and season dates and when the harvest is occurring. And it's pretty obvious, you know, looking at the data that most of it's on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And most of it is, you know, a lot real high harvest opening weekend and or opening days, and it tapers off as the season goes on. So we're harvesting, as we always have, a large portion of the birds in the first part of the season every year. But it's great data, and it's detailed data. And what's great about it, it's not just for us as biologists or law enforcement officers. The public can see a lot of this data too. We've got on that app something called a Hunter's Toolbox that you can access from the app or the website, where anybody in the public can go in and query the system and look at, you know, if they want to see what the harvest is throughout the season on a particular day or in a particular county or on a particular wildlife management area. It's a public-facing system where anybody can go in and look at that. And the hunters that have kind of caught on to that have really enjoyed that. And some of them have gotten kind of addicted to keeping up with it. So let me hit on that real quick.
Absolutely, Jay. So that's Go Outdoors SC. If you're listening, if you've got a smartphone, whether it's iPhone or Android, you can go to the App Store and you can buy it. You can look at it. You can get it. It's free. You don't have to purchase
it's
it. Free.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Go Outdoors SC. It'll have the DNR's emblem on it in green. And when you load that app, you have the opportunity. You put your last name, your date of birth, and then generally people will use the last four of their social security number. There's other methods you can use too. And it will pull your license system up and load it on your phone so that your license information up to date is on your phone. Now, if you do this and it can't find you, you may have to call in. Sometimes people have more than one record in our system and it won't load you. So I do want to mention that for folks that may try it, get frustrated. I have lots of people that call me. Fortunately, our licensed folks are very quick to fix that and get them fixed up. As soon as I call them, they'll fix it and get them straight on there. But when you load your licenses on there, it basically, whatever you purchase at the time, it loads it up, including your tags. and you can select your tag, you know, and Jay was explaining, and report that tag for the day. Now, for those that are those secret hunters out there that don't want to give away their secret hunting spot, it doesn't geocache, for those folks that know about that. It doesn't mark exactly where you reported, okay? It just, you select the county that you reported the turkey in, and as Jay very clearly explained, that helps us determine populations and what hunter success is across the state. So that's as close as it gets to where you were as the county. And I think most of us can let that go for a little bit. That's okay. If we killed it in Orangeburg, we can put kill it in Orangeburg. We didn't put that we killed it in Four Hole Swamp or in some such road or whatever. Got that.
Right. Right.
Your secret's still safe.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it right at the point of kill either. That's not, you know, you can do it later on that day or something. But yeah, that is one thing that, as you mentioned, that kind of spooks a few people. But yeah, there's nothing that's collecting any data, and we don't know where where you were other than the county report or the WMA report. So, but
that's
great information for us.
Sure. But if you have problems loading it, you can call our license division. They can help you through that, get that straightened out. Most people don't have a problem, but there are people that do encounter the problem. Depending on how long you've been in the system, if you've got boats and those things. And going on further, if you go into boating season, you can actually renew your boat titles and registration on the phone app as well. So it's a very user-friendly app. Once we got it all working, it's amazing what it takes to get that stuff working. But the company that does this does it in Florida. They do it in Texas, so they can handle it. But it is a system that, like we say, it once you get it working on your phone, it's really nice to have your license and everything right there. You can look at the rules and regs. You can look at what sunset is in that hunter's toolbox. There's a lot of fun things on there to do. Jay, let me jump back to this. So what do turkeys depend on to have a successful brood, to raise a successful brood? What are the factors?
Well, there's several things. One that comes to mind for a lot of people right off the bat is good weather. You know, obviously when those poults, the young turkeys hatch, you don't want a lot of rain or a lot of cold weather. So weather is a factor that obviously we don't have much control over. You know, but just good
habitat. So is it true that turkeys will drown in the rain?
I don't know. There's probably a little bit of a wives' tale there, but they definitely don't do well when they get wet when they're young. You know, they're not fully feathered, and so they don't shed water off. So they can deal with a little rain, but heavy rain or long durations of rain is not ideal right after they've hatched. But a lot of it just comes down to good habitat, you know, so they can escape from predators and what we call good brooder and habitat, which a lot of times is crop fields or grown up weed fields or, you know, clear cuts or just brushy areas, you know, where they can get around on the ground and catch a lot of insects, but have some overhead cover or some escape cover. Cause the main threat is there's everything wants to eat an egg or a baby turkey. And so anything where a hen can have a good safe place to nest or a good place to take her brood close by to catch a lot of insects, because that's what they're relying on heavily when they're young. So a lot of it's just having good habitat. And if folks are, you know, managing property and they want some advice on that, they can reach out to us. And we can obviously give them some assistance there. But, you know, it's a combination of habitat, weather, and being able to avoid predators. And so, you know, folks can do some predator control, some trapping, but there's so many things that want to eat an egg or a baby turkey that's often hard to control. But, you know, it's tough being a little turkey.
Little turkeys can fly how quickly after they're born?
About 3 weeks. Yeah, they get moving pretty quick, you know, by 3 weeks, and they're not taking long flights, but by the time they're about 3 weeks old, they can do short flights and get up. And that's a real critical time. Once they can get up off the ground and roost in trees or shrubbery at night, that saves a lot of them. So the real critical time is the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of their life. And once they get past that, they're pretty good. They grow fast and get where predators aren't as big a threat after the first 2 or 3 weeks. But that's when most of them, you know, bite the dust is either in the egg or shortly after hatching.
Right. So let's go to the adult turkey for a minute. We talk about a gobbler. What makes a gobbler have an 11 or 12 inch beard and inch and a half spurs? What makes it?
Well,
what's the factor?
That's
you know where I'm going. I want you to say, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a lot of genetics and diet. You know, what it's not often is age. A lot of hunters, and this is something that's a hard thing to get away from, but you can't tell how old a male turkey is by looking at spur length or beard length. You know, you can probably have a pretty good guess on a two-year-old bird, but honestly, through all the research and studies and catching jakes and known-age birds and then recapturing them later, you know, there's been two-year-old birds with inch and a quarter spurs and 11 inch beards. And there's been 5-year-old birds with, you know, 3/4 inch spurs and 8 inch beards. So it doesn't, you know, age is not a factor there. It's more just genetics and what they're kind of born to turn into, or maybe their nutrition.
Okay. So what makes for a big turkey? When you get a large turkey, what is in? Is there genetics involved there, or are we talking?
There's some genetics and diet and nutrition, and you know where, you know what they're eating and where they're living, but a lot of it's genetic.
So I would say this also. So in the deer world, we know that pine forests are kind of known as a desert wasteland for deer because it's a whole lot of food value when you get a full mature pine forest for deer. Is that true for turkeys as well?
It is. You know, there's not a lot there for them. So, you know, supplementing what you can, you know, plant and is critical. But, you know, a lot of it, you know, they obviously need turkeys have a varied diet throughout the year, and they need a lot of insects, and they need a lot of, you know, seeds and nuts and mast and fruit. And, you know, they're kind of generalist or opportunist and eat a lot of different things. So, you know, a varied habitat with a lot of good food in it. But yeah, usually in a pine plantation that's kind of sparse underneath it and providing a lot, you know, they need some hardwoods and some fields and, you know, a little bit of everything.
Turkeys are going to move to where the food is, just like everything else.
That's correct. Yeah. They can cover a lot of ground, and they're going to shift around. And that's something that a lot of people, I think, get a little frustrated with. You know, maybe folks that deer hunt and turkey hunt might see a lot of turkeys in the fall or winter on their when they're out deer hunting, and then don't see them in the spring. And what you have to realize is they shift their range based on the time of the year and what they're feeding on. So, you know, if you want them around in the spring, you need to be trying to provide things that they want in the spring, which is, you know, a lot of good green open areas where there's a lot of bugs and insects and good greenery for them. That they're eating a lot of insects and a lot of, you know, new green foliage this time of year.
Well, absolutely. Well, Jay, I'm going to ask you, I know we got a few 30 seconds probably before we're about over with tonight. What, just for interest sake for you, what is your favorite turkey call?
My favorite
mouth call or the bone, old wishbone call?
I like slate, but a glass call, like a glass pot call is kind of my favorite go-to. But I use mouth call a heck of a lot, too. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, Jay, thanks again for tonight. Appreciate you coming on. A lot of great information that we probably haven't covered in shows past. I really appreciate your time, and good luck to you in the coming weeks. I know you want to go afield as well. So, again, thanks for tonight.
Right. All right. Same
Phil,
to you, and hope everybody has a good, safe season.
Yes, sir. Phil, that'll wrap us up for turkey season for tonight. We'll be back at the Classic on Friday.
We shall see you there.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Major, and thank you, Jay. Great stuff. And, yeah, we'll hear turkey calls aplenty from the Classic on Friday, because that stuff will be going on crazy. In fact, I know the Major is going to come to the microphones with his favorite turkey call and put it on display. So we will be at the Sportsman Classic on Friday. Look forward to being there. Top of the eighth, Clemson and Kennesaw State are 2-2. Tigers have one out, runners at second and third as they try to win another one late. We'll have the story for you on our website, sportstalksc.com, once the game is over. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow here on Sports Talk.